from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 1 to 4. Jesus comforts his disciples. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. These are the words of Jesus, the words of the Lord.
Thank you, Sheila. One more announcement that we'd like to let you know about for sure. We have the Guess Who's Coming to Dinner event coming up. It's a wonderful time to make some new friends in someone's home, and you never know who you're going to meet. It's really quite fun. And today is the last day to sign up for that. So please do register for that in the gym today. And I want to reintroduce to you Pastor John Gurnett. Most of you have met. Pastor John is a pastor with Joy Fellowship that meets in our church building here at 1:30 in the afternoons. And I encourage you to join them sometime. It's a delightful time of worship. They live up to their name, Joy Fellowship. And Joy Fellowship reaches out to many people who have mental or physical challenges and really have all ability levels. And it's just a wonderful group. And we've enjoyed the partnership with Joy Fellowship. Not only are they in our building, but John helps us with our audio, heads up our audio department, and with various improvements we've made. And I don't know if you're aware of this, but Pastor John lives on the church property in our Cedars house, and with our interns, James and Silas. And so, you know, if we need help with anything, it's good to know I can call him, as I'm not very handy, but he is. And so it's just been a really neat partnership. But I'm also very thankful that John is bringing the sermon today, because as you hear, if it were me, it would be very short. So let's bow and let's pray before we hear God's word. Lord, I thank you for Pastor John and Pastor David and for Joy Fellowship and just the wonderful partnership you've given us with them. And we ask that you would continue to make that flourish for both of our churches. And Lord, that you would continue to guide and empower them and give them all the resources they need as they are reaching so many people in this very wonderful mission field that you have called them into. Lord, to keep strengthening them and leading them on, multiply this work as you have been doing. And Lord, we just look forward to what you're going to keep doing. And Lord, as we hear God's word today, we ask that you would bless Pastor John as he shares it. Lord, just to speak through him and to him and to each one of us. Lord, give us ears to hear what you would have us say today, what you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Lee. Yes, thank you. Joy Fellowship came here about almost 3 years ago now. At that time, we were about 100 people and 15 wheelchairs. We're about 130 and 21 or 22 wheelchairs on average day. So we needed this space, and you gave it to us, and we are so grateful. I'm grateful for a place to live as well. So thank you. Thank you so much. I happen to love words that end in G-M-A. Can you think of any off the top of your head? I can. I had to look them up to make sure that I got some good ones. But this g-ma sounds cool to me. So I like this particular word. Next one there. Magma. Do you know what magma is? It's not lava. Lava is when it comes out of the volcano. Magma is the stuff inside the volcano before it's come out. So, yeah, we got a little... I just hear that word, magma. It sounds like magma, right? I mean, it sounds like the stuff it is. I like this word too. Enigma. The thing about the gma sound at the end of that is it makes this word an example of a word, of what it is, of its definition. This word is an enigma. Enigma is an enigma. It's just something that's mysterious and cool, like this. I don't know. It's my favorite enigmatic picture. The word I want to think about, though, for a minute is this one. Stigma. Stigma is, its original meaning was a mark received from a sharp tool. Do any of you have a stigma? Do you have a stigma? I bet you do. Look there. That's a stigma. That's your vaccination stigma, if you have one of those little marks on your arm. Or maybe if you grew up in Asia, you have like nine dots by, or like three dots by three dots square. Anyways. That's a stigma. I have another stigma, and I will show it to you. You probably can't see it right there. There's about a 6-inch long scar on my arm. It's faded over the years, but to me, this is not just a scar. This is a stigma that helps me define who I am. It happened when I was about 3 years old, three and a half years old. And it's a mark of how tough I was when I was one of those. By the way, when Callum asked me to speak today, he didn't warn me that I was going on after cute children. And I know whatever I say today, people are going to go home and talk about how cute the children were during the choir singing. But anyways, imagine me as a cute little child falling off the top bunk and cutting my arm open from wrist to elbow. And I don't remember it, of course, because I was just a kid. But my family has repeatedly told me the story that they took me off to the hospital after wrapping my arm, and I did not cry the whole way to the hospital. What a tough little guy I was, hey? When I think about complaining about difficulties in my life, I just look and I say, John, you were the boy who didn't cry when his arm was ripped open. Don't complain about this, right? It's a stigma, a mark that has helped me to know who I am a little bit. Scars like that and stigma like that are marks that define who we are. And very often, the marks that mark our psyche, our soul, who we are things that we are called, names that we're called, and terms that people use to refer to us. And they leave a stigma on us as well. They come to define us. They come to stigmatize us. At Joy Fellowship, where I work, as you heard, lots of our people, especially those with intellectual disabilities, it seems to me, have been stigmatized throughout their lives. One of my friends must have been called a big baby by his sisters when he was just a child. Now, almost 50 years later, he regularly calls me to tell on people in our church who called him baby. And how much he hates it. In fact, no one is calling him that anymore, but he has this stigma that's in his soul that he's a big baby, and so he hears it. I gotta hurry, I better keep going. He feels that stigma. I've been thinking about this idea since Easter time. We got stigma? Okay. I've been thinking about this idea since Easter time. There's a verse in the Passion Week stories about what Jesus calls us and how it can be our stigma. We'll get to what he does call us in a bit. But first, I want to think of some things that Jesus could have called us, but that he didn't call us. The first thing that comes to my mind is he could have called us worshipers. He could have, quite legitimately. He could have described us primarily as people who worship him. That's something we're told to do in the Bible. Recognizing who God is and how great are all his acts and decisions is definitely something we should do. And worship feels good, right? We just sang together and we're worshiping together, unquestionably enjoying ourselves, our spirits being lifted into the presence of God. I think it's because we're stating the obvious truth that of the whole universe. There is a God and we're not him. He's greater than us. But the trouble calling, if Jesus had called us worshipers and defined us as that, is that, you know, he probably already has beings who are worshiping him and who are better at it than we are. This was great and lovely. Come to enjoy fellowship. You'll see a different kind of experience of worship, enjoyable, but it's never perfect down here. Read the Bible accounts of what heaven is like and the worship that goes on there. The angels are completely focused on praising God. I can't imagine what Isaiah saw when he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his robe filled the temple, and his glory filled the whole earth, and the angels are flying back and forth, singing to one another. They got six wings. I think we got a six-winged angel showing up here. Two to cover their eyes, two to cover their feet, two to fly with, and this incredible paean of praise. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. Those guys were worshipers. Those guys are worshipers, and we can probably never do it as well as them. So I'm glad Jesus didn't define us as worshipers, first of all. He could have called us disciples. Being a disciple is something that a lot of us strive for, and we should. One of our favorite songs at Joy Fellowship is, I have decided to follow Jesus. Disciple, follower, same kind of thing. That decision to follow him should inform our other decisions. In the history of the church, there have been over and over movements to bring us back to truly following him. But it doesn't always work out, does it? We sometimes try to follow, but fail. And even if we do okay, it seems like there's always someone doing a bit better at obeying God than we are. Even in Jesus' day, he said, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, you won't see the kingdom of heaven. The Pharisees were very good at obeying God's word and a bunch of other rules they made up too. There's always someone doing better at being a servant than us. I love the story of Paul and Silas because it makes me feel like a failure as a disciple. They were in prison, in a horrible hole of a prison that they were dumped in and thought they were going to die. And in the middle of the night, they're singing praises to God. They're committed to following Jesus all the way to the end. I used to be a youth pastor in Alberta for many years. And after our services, one of our volunteers was the servant example. The rest of us would be tired out from our activity. We'd made a big pile of a mess. And this one guy would be up and vacuuming the floors already. And we're just lying there in, you know, a wasted out state because we had no energy left. But he's vacuuming. We just felt if we could ever serve as much as Eric, we would be better people, right? Have you met someone like that? Kind of irritating, aren't they? We would always go and clap for him to steal his reward in heaven so that he didn't get it when he got to heaven. But I think because he kept vacuuming, even though we were consciously trying to steal his reward, he still gets it, I assume. Fortunately, Jesus didn't say, you're servants. He didn't say, you're worshipers. What he said to us is, you are my friends. The nice thing about being called that, as to define who we are, to be our stigma, to be our mark, is that there's no competition in friendship. You just are a friend or you aren't a friend. You don't have to work at it, really, or practice. All you have to do is spend time with the person, and the friendship will grow and deepen. There are all sorts of benefits to having friends. I was at a seminar recently and learned that there's a connection between relationships and the feelings of loneliness that people have who aren't in relationships, and the instance of Alzheimer's disease. Relationships, friendships can actually slow its onset. Keep that in mind. So how can we be the friends of Jesus? Well, I think the key thing is that friendship requires communication. Friendship requires communication. At the end of this service, we're going to sing What a Friend We Have in Jesus. It sums up how to be Jesus' friend when it says, take it to the Lord in prayer. How do we take it to the Lord in prayer? How do we take it to the Lord in prayer? Sometimes it's an extra special holy prayer. And we, you know, we can stop and focus on the Lord. And that's a wonderful thing. If you pray like that, that's great. But that's not the only way we can be a friend of Jesus. Sometimes it's a prayer that goes like this. Help me, Lord Jesus. because things are falling apart, and he loves to hear us call out to him when we're in need. Sometimes we just need to check in. I have two or three people who I'm on a daily call basis with, and they call me at least or about once a day, and they just start checking in. They let me know what they had for dinner. They let me know what they occupied their time with. They tell me about the people in their lives, and it's just a 4 or 5 minute call every day to kind of check in. And you know what? That's a good thing to do with our friend Jesus. Just call him and tell him how you're feeling. Tell him what happened. He's glad to hear that kind of stuff. Sometimes our prayers are wordless. Just saying, Lord, I'm with you. And we might not be able to express, but the Holy Spirit takes our deepest longings and expresses them for us. We can pray when we're angry or in pain. If you've read the Old Testament, the Psalms especially, about half of them are about people in pain calling out to God saying, I need your help. Get those guys who are hurting me. And that's okay. God hears those kind of prayers too. What friendship would we complete without some compliments? Some of our prayers need to be praise for our best friend. Anyways, I guess if there's only one takeaway from this whole sermon, I'd say pray or get dementia. Maybe. No, pray. You have a friend. You have a friend who wants you to spend time with them. Praying is the way to do that. I encourage you to do that. We're missing out if we don't spend time with Jesus. As the other old hymn says, be still, my soul, your best, your heavenly friend, through thorny ways, leads to a joyful end. Our friend is waiting for us. He's gone to prepare a place for us, and he's waiting to welcome us to be with him. Let's pray, and then we will sing a song. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you sent Jesus and that he chose to describe us, to stigmatize us, to mark us as his friends. We're no longer just your servants. We're no longer just your followers. We're no longer just your worshipers, but we've become your friends, and we are so grateful for that wonderful truth. Help us to appreciate it. Help us to come and talk to you and tell you our concerns, our cares, our needs, knowing that you will always hear us and you will always respond in love and with the best for us. Help us to keep you as a close friend, near the center of our life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving us so much. We pray this in your name. Amen.